production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio, your home for NASCAR. We're racing talk radio. 3 now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We're going to break down the big news that came out yesterday of, yes, Dale Earnhardt Jr. retiring at the end of the year. And after that, really, does anything matter? Well, yes, it does. We'll discuss Monday's race at Bristol, hear from Grant Lynch with Talladega Super Speedway, and Alex Hayden from MRN weighs in on Junior's retirement. We have all that and much, much more today on Racing Talk Radio. I'm Jamie Kyle, setting to my radio left, Mr. Jason Hildebrand, and across, as I gaze at his ugly face,
listen, it's the best face you've seen all day long.
Mr.
Hey, can
Scott
you yell
Webb.
Into that microphone a little bit more, please?
It's probably because, you know, when I can't hear myself, I scream, and so it's one of those things.
Well, buddy, I've got volume controls.
I kind of like hearing myself talk.
Well,
so,
listen, that makes...
If you hadn't figured that out already.
I have figured that out. Listen, I want to tip my hat. What another tremendous job of with the 48 this week.
Yes.
Your picking skills.
You're getting that out of the way early.
Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and say that now, so I can ridicule you the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, don't ridicule. I think the thing
it may be a little bit of jealousy.
I can remember Jason Hildebrand about 3 weeks ago when I first threw the 48 in my power rankings, and I was catching grief from everybody.
It wasn't grief. It was just, yeah, let's pick up.
Now, once he won, then I can say that, you know,
but here's
now
the
deal. Now that he's won back-to-back.
Here's the deal. So I throw him in 48. I pick him to win, and then what happens? He wins. He moves up in my power rankings, and then I still keep him in my power rankings, and what happens? I mean, I think Jimmy Johnson probably should give me a call and thank you, or send me a little thank you basket for sticking him in my power rankings, and that helps him do well.
It was definitely his best run of the year.
Definitely. Texas is pretty close. I mean, considering the tangibles at Texas with the new new paper.
I think all that they overcame, though, they really kind of struggled. They ran, I think, the most laps in practice on Saturday, and kind of eventually figured stuff out. They were better. They stayed up with the track better than anybody else, and allowed them to move forward in a strong performance. Nobody here is surprised that the 48 team is finding his way out of his little bit of early season funk.
And one of the more impressive things about this weekend, who knew what the track was going to, you know, act like out there on Monday when they had to run it?
Jason, I was pretty impressed. I thought there was multiple grooves. Yeah. The track kind of changed. It made sometimes early in runs, maybe the bottom or up or the top lane was faster. It kind of moved around. There was some side-by-side racing. I thought it was a pretty good show. I would have loved to have seen it on Sunday where I could have watched the whole thing, but I thought what I got to see on Monday was a pretty good ride.
But you know what? I think Bristol Motor Speedway handled that the best way you could. I mean, you knew you were going to have a washout on Sunday. I think everybody knew. Jason and I were talking before the show on how they had already announced they were going to have an announcement between 12 and 1 on Sunday.
You know it's coming.
You know it's coming then. You know, they could have played that out and let people get there and stuff like that, but they didn't.
They could have got the old power boats out and done some hot laps
in the
there
parking lot.
In the parking lot there.
That would have been good. But, you know, they worked really hard. And that staff up there with Jerry Caldwell, they put the rosin down again on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Early Monday morning.
Yes, in the turns. And really, I think at first, you know, when they did it last year, you could say that it kind of wore away and moved up to the top. But this year was a little different. You had them running all over the place.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And, I think they wanted to get, you know, a second groove run in. You know, we've seen over the last few years, you've had to run the top line. You couldn't make any progress. They throw the rosin down. The bottom lane becomes the main groove, but you could run on the top, and there was times during runs where the top was the better lane of choice, and it made for great racing. Anybody that saw any portion of that race had to be happy with what they were seeing. I think the drivers were ecstatic if you listen to some of them talk after the race about the quality of racing that went on there. Kyle Larson, he even tweeted out something after the race on Monday saying, if you didn't like that racing, then you just don't like racing.
That may have been a paid advertisement from Bristol Motor Speedway.
Well, it may have been, but it was the truth.
I think the worst thing is a NASCAR fan that you want to see, the worst thing that you want to see is single file racing, especially around a short track like that. You got to be able to
play follow the leader.
Yeah. You got to be able to pass somebody. And, you know, the ones, I really like seeing the guys get up top that can run up there.
Right. Let's go back to these power rankings real quick, because boss man, Mr. Whitfield has texted and said that my power rankings with Jimmy Johnson means nothing because you don't have the rules noted in the official NASCAR power rankings rule book. So
let me go ahead and let Mr. Whitfield in on something. The power ranking rule book is even more obscure and more secretive than the official NASCAR rule book. So there's no way it changes on a weekly basis. It's whatever Kyle sees fit, and that's what we roll with.
See, NASCAR at least uses whiteout, okay? Jamie uses pencil and eraser.
Yeah, the mechanical pencil at best. So, hey, let's talk about a couple things that made a big difference. And Jason, you know, we go to Bristol, and I know Scott goes with us from time to time every year in August. When you go into the pits at Bristol, you enter it kind of at the end of, or close to the end of turn two, and you go in. If you're pitted on the front stretch, you have to go the whole back stretch, come out of the pit, stay on the apron, and then go into turn three and four. There were several speeding penalties that cost some big name drivers. I mean, let's look. Truex was up there. Who else got busted?
Larson got busted late. You know, he's running third.
But you think about that.
He got timed going on exiting off, and he didn't have but like 45 feet, and, you know, they just hit it a little fast.
But that's got to make a huge difference in what these drivers do, getting used to now the enhanced speeding penalties.
Yeah, I mean, you got a long way to travel there, and to keep that speed under control, keep that RPMs down. So you got a long way to travel.
Well, there's really no place that you want to have a speeding penalty worse than these short tracks. Because of you got to go to the end of the longest line, and then you put yourself in the situation where you got to pass lap cars, try to get, you know, you've got to have a lot of things break your way to get back into it if you have a speeding penalty, and the later you have one, the worse off you're going to be.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy, and I don't know that at the end of the day if Jimmy Johnson would have won that race. There were several, and two of those cars with Larson and Truex had really fast cars at the end, and who knows if they hadn't have got busted, if that would have happened. Harvick was pretty sporty too, but seemed like he got mired back in traffic a little bit and couldn't catch up. But let's look at the 14 car of Clint Bowyer. Could you believe, and would you think this year, after the year he had last year and then coming out of scratching his arm at Michael Waltrip Racing, that this guy would be running so well this time this year?
You always knew that the guy had potential. When he was in good equipment, he ran pretty well. I think the year away from, you know, the struggles that he had to endure last year and all that took place there at the end at Michael Waltrip Racing really made it kind of, this is more enjoyable. And you're seeing that. You're seeing them have a little more joy in what they're doing, especially him. And you know, that's a good race team with good stuff and good equipment. And we're seeing when you put all the pieces together, good things can happen. You know, if there's, you know, another 15, 20 laps, or if there's a late caution, he may have had the best car on the track. He may have won that race. So you tip your hat on a team that really seems to be headed in the right direction week in and week out.
And, you know, it seems like it's kind of weird that we would be saying that Clint Bowyer is probably the best out of that Stuart Haas Racing group right now. With Kevin Harvick probably being a close second, but you've got Kurt Busch, Daytona 500 winner, who you hadn't talked about since he won the Daytona 500, and of course Danica, who we never talk about.
Well, you know, you look at Kurt, and it seems like he's found trouble at every other racetrack besides Daytona this year. I mean, he's bounced it off every wall. You know, you look at Vegas. I mean, he was going back home, you know, his home track out there, and really had a poor showing, and really hasn't recovered, in my opinion, from that.
Absolutely. So it's kind of a shift in the changing of the guard, I guess, so to speak, for them.
Jamie, don't you think, though, that a portion of that may be the manufacturer shift? You know, they're running Chevys, now they're running Ford, still building all their own stuff in-house. I think there's going to be a period of adjustment. This is probably going to be a team – that although Kevin Harvick had some good runs early, and we're starting to see Bowyer turn the corner. Harvick has run better the last couple of weeks. Now can they make that shift and pull the rest of that organization along and start winning races?
It's no secret. Bowyer can drive a car. We've known that. You just got to give him the good equipment. I think he'll be good out there. You look, he's already ran better than what we've seen Tony Stewart run over the past couple of years.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, I think they're making progress, getting him as like the either number one or number two man in that garage.
Yeah, and so it should be interesting to see. And part of me, when you said that of the manufacturing change, I guess they come out of the gate so quick because they looked really good at Daytona. And then you look back and you think the horsepower's there.
You know, the Fords have got some speed. You know, the Penske cars, Blaney's got some speed. I think on those tracks where speed's important, we've seen them run well. And now when you start to get in some of these more handling type tracks and type, that's where learning new stuff and learning new manufacturer and how you set cars up are a little bit different. And I still think they're kind of working through that process.
Absolutely. All right, so Jimmy Johnson gets his second win of the year back-to-back. That would be track 7, which is how many championships he has, and then 8, which is how many championships he's going to have at the end of the year. So had a great run.
Are we going to go ahead and throw that out there now?
Let's do it. He'll be Mr. 8 time at the end of the year. We'll say that. So let's hear from Jimmy Johnson on his win at Bristol.
Yeah, just a really solid performance all day long. Great pit stops. Just very solid. Same thing at Texas. So I think that was the piece we were lacking to start the season. Don't know why. Don't know what it was. But, you know, our cars have been very capable of running up front. And it's been nice these last 2 weeks to execute. From the start of the race qualifying, was saved by the rain this week. And the week before, I spun out after I took the flag. So we're getting closer there. But the race itself, execution's been flawless. Great race cars. I feel like we did a nice job on Saturday. I feel like Chad did a really nice job on Saturday of listening through my frustration and how to get the car a little bit closer. And his open-minded approach, I really think, found something that we've been looking for a while here and made a huge difference today. So just a lot of fun. There was so many competitive passes and so much racing going on over the course of the event. Of course, I was happy to get away at the end and not have to worry about Clint or anybody else behind me, but I think the bulk of the race, they did a nice job with the VHT on the bottom. Second lane finally came in, and a very exciting race.
Well, now we have a new word for the resin at the bottom, the VHT. I'm not really sure what that stands for, but in the banking world, you know, we live by acronyms, so we'll figure that out. Jimmy Johnson, huge. You know, he said that it seems like his team's come together. That seems to have happened, and that's a dangerous time for that to happen going over the summer months where he usually runs pretty good. All right, let's do this, guys. I want to get to the big news.
Enough of all that talk.
All right.
Let's spend the next 45 minutes talking about what everybody else is talking about.
Exactly, which is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Guys, when you heard the rumblings yesterday of this could possibly happen and then the news come out, initial thoughts?
Yeah, no, not really too surprised. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, and you sit and you think about it from his perspective. What else has he got to do out there? He hadn't ever won a championship, but
right.
You know, there's a time when you say, look, there's more important things in life. So good for him.
What about you, Mr. Webb?
Not surprised at all. I think he talks about this, and we've got some audio that we're going to listen to here in a little bit. From his press conference yesterday, I think he really wanted to go out on his terms. You know, he didn't want the injury or the concussions to kind of knock him out of the sport. And this was, you know, he worked hard to get back into the position where he can go out and drive a race car again. Now, you know, now that he's back there and done, you know, it takes a little bit of crazy to do this, to do what these guys do. And you get to a point in your life where maybe the crazy part is not there is more. You're still passionate about the sport, but you've got to be able to put it out on the edge. And from a health standpoint, maybe he's just figured that it's time to, while I'm still healthy, while I'm still able to do the things that I want to do, and I can still be a very vocal part of the sport, be a very influential part of the sport, maybe it's time for me to step away from the race car and move to the next phase in life. And you tip your hat on a great career and all the things that he's done. He's meant a lot to the sport. Obviously, initially probably came in on the coattails of his extremely famous and popular father, but I think he made his own way, and I think all of us at one point or in time were big Junior fans that are in this room right now, and it's been fun to watch him evolve and turn into the driver and the person that he is.
You know, I think a lot of the talk is around the negative talk I want to address real quick is around, you know, expectations of not getting that championship like Jason mentioned, you know, a couple other things. And what I got to thinking was is that whose expectations was he living up to? I mean, was he living up to the fans' expectations of, you know, he needs to have seven championships like his dad? Was he living up to his dad's expectations on who knows what it was? Or did he have his own set of expectations that he, you know, went against? And did he meet those expectations? Was he successful? Yes. I think he revolutionized the whole commercialism of sponsors in NASCAR. You never saw Harry Gantt getting on TV and talking about Skoll. You never saw, you know, I don't know, Dale Earnhardt really getting on there and talking about Goodwrench. It was on the cars. It was on them. He took it to the TV, and I think that's a big thing that he did with NASCAR and sponsors is he's taken that to a whole new level.
Yeah, very marketable. You look at a guy out there, you know, whether it be Wrangler, whether it be Nationwide, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, Mountain Dew, you know, Diet Mountain Dew. I mean, there's a lot of things out there. Very marketable guy. And, you know, I think when you talked about the expectations, I think those are unfair expectations from fans, okay? Right. His dad's gone, so guess what? We've got to go after this guy. This is the guy we got to pull for now. And without seven championships, they feel like, you know, it was incomplete career, I guess. I don't know. I think he's had a solid career.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at it, Scott, Kyle Petty followed, you know, Richard Petty.
Listen,
No success there. I mean, one race, couple races in the Mellie Yellow car. You know, I think it was at North Wilkesbury or something like that. But had a really rough time living up to those standards.
About lapped the field that day. Right. I remember that.
Living up to those standards. And now you look, you've got Earnhardt who's done what he's done. And now Chase Elliott's here. So the pressure of being, you know, the son of somebody who was really good in NASCAR in this day and time is difficult.
It is difficult. You know, he probably had more expectation heaped on him than probably any of these other guys because Dale Earnhardt was the face of the sport and was the most
loved him or hated him,
but he was the guy that was bringing people to the racetrack and the things he did in the car. And, it, you know, some of that fell on Junior. And I think Junior's learned to handle that responsibility. And as he's gotten older and more mature, he understands that. So there was a lot of pressure, but I think he's handled it well. He's done things for the sport that go way beyond wins and championships. He's been able to push the sport even further forward in terms of the marketability and the way that you want to see your drivers be on the track.
Yeah, and it's a lot more talk about Dale Earnhardt Jr. today on the show. All right, when we come back, hopefully we'll have Grant Lynch from Talladega Super Speedway on the phone to talk about his race coming up in a couple of weeks, and then Alex Hayden will be joining us to weigh in on the junior retirement as well. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. Talked a little bit about Bristol.
Very little.
How can anybody not talk about what happened after that? I'm glad I at least waited till Tuesday. but what else do we talk about? Well, that's a track that everybody I know around here in the Chattanooga area loves going to, and that's Talladega Super Speedway. And we have Grant Lynch on the phone from Talladega Super Speedway. Grant, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing this evening?
Well, very good, Grant. You know, I can't get you on the phone without asking you about Top of the River down in Anniston, Alabama. Is it still hanging in there, and is the food still fantastic?
That is one good place to eat. I never make it to my catfish because I eat so many turnip greens and white beans and slaw and cornbread.
Oh, I know.
And by the time they bring me most of my stuff, I'm full.
I think that's how that place gets you. They get the cheap stuff up front that doesn't cost them much. You eat it all, and then they don't have to serve you as much on the other side. So But it's very good down there. So, Grant, I know we had some news coming out yesterday. Really excited to talk about Talladega as well. But I guess we couldn't have you on the phone without first asking you about your initial reaction to Dale Earnhardt Jr. Announcing he's retiring at the end of the year.
Well, I mean, after last year when he was going through those concussion-related issues, and we all realized he was coming up on his 42nd birthday and was getting ready to get married, a lot of us were thinking, how long is he going to run? And I commend him for going through the effort and giving the time and everything to get himself back to where he could come back. And now he's announced what he wants to do. And while as much could hurt us to lose Dale Jr. as much as we are an Earnhardt track, he's second in most victories with 6 victories here, only to his dad, who had 10. And so, we want him to do what he wants to do and what's right for him and his family. Yeah. And, you know, the good news is, if you want to find some bright spots out of all this, is I think in the 20-some years, almost 30 years that I've been in following NASCAR and their Winston Cup program and then the Sprint Cup and now the Monster Energy Series, I don't know if there's any better talent ever been assembled in the lower ranks to move up into the upper ranks than we're seeing right now, with talented folks coming into the sport already, and more just seems like down in the wings down there. So I know eventually, new drivers will come in and they'll do well and they'll develop their own fan bases, but we're replacing the biggest one in the sport.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of spooky, but you know what? Mr. Branch used to tell me about the rain. You can't do any daggum thing, and he may have said something else there about it. So get back to work.
Exactly. Get back to work.
That's the way I look at it.
Well, and the other way I look at it is, too, Grant, is that just means he's a free agent. So, I mean, he did win the second most races down there. You could hire him as a, kind of the PR guy down there for Talladega. I'm sure he would go pretty cheap.
We don't pay Russell that much, I'm just telling you.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, one of the things you said there, and then we'll get to Talladega, is we talk about this all the time about how, the future of the sport looks bright. And we've kind of coined a phrase here called the new NASCAR. I think it's coming sooner than was expected, but there's a couple of other big-name drivers, that are getting towards the end of their career. But with the Chase Elliotts and stuff like that, the Ryan Blaney's, I think it's coming around, and it's almost
Eric
a
Jones.
Good time.
Eric Jones.
Absolutely. It's a good time for this to happen.
He drove the wheels off that thing, both cars and
Bristol. Yes, he did.
Literally. So
yeah, you're right.
But that's great. But listen, Grant, the reason we have you on the phone is because everybody in this area talks about Talladega Super Speedway, and everybody has stories, some we can't share on the air, about the pre-race festivities and stuff like that and what happens the night before. But a lot of people love it. The segment racing that's coming to Talladega this year, we saw a little bit of it at Daytona. I think we're going to see a lot more, and it's going to be a lot more fun to watch on TV and in person at Talladega.
Yeah, I was ecstatic when NASCAR announced what they were going to do, and we'd been picking on them to do something. If you continue to do the same thing, this old thing about computers, and expect a different result, you're not real smart. And they kept giving everybody everything they were racing for for us, lap 188, when the race was over. That's when you got your points and your money. Well, and you can hide it, I'm telling you, they're riding around at the mile and a half. You didn't have to pass anybody early in the race because it didn't do you any good to do that. It didn't do you any good to pass anybody. And we've seen the results now of giving them 2 sets of points that you can pick up in the first half of the race. First set gets you into the chase in your very series. The second pass is bonus points that once you get in the chase, you get to keep those with you till you get to Homestead. So we've seen the results, and I think what you're going to see here is the best race you've seen in a while because everybody's going to want some of those points early in the race. And you've also seen people do really good in the first two segments, wreck early in the third, and then come, I think Elliott's a great example of that in the Xfinity Series in Daytona. I think he came out 5th or 6th in points after he set out the last 40, 50 laps. But he had so many points from the first two segments, that's where he ended up. So I like the way they're doing it, and I'm ecstatic about it, and I think we're going to see a great race here.
Hey, Grant, you know, I've been to Talladega before, and it's a great experience for anybody. I'm dying to get back down there again. But, you know, you look and you see all the passing that goes on at your track down there versus, like you said, the mile and a half. You see just intensity out there. How you know, you're looking at this segment race, and how deep, how driven would those drivers be in those segments, and what do you expect to see?
I mean, I hope we see a lot of guys that instead of drifting towards the back, you know, they try to stay up towards the front, you know, and stay there for the segment endings, and then they have to do it again, you know, for the final one. And so I don't see how it cannot be better as far as forcing the drivers to do something that historically a lot of them didn't want to do at Talladega, and that's stay up front all day. Junior likes to stay up front, in front all day.
Oh, yeah.
If he can, and I think that's probably a smart move. And he certainly won a lot of times when he had that philosophy at the track.
What about the and I know they've changed the chase around a lot, and you know, Talladega now is not a cutoff race. You think that'll be a big difference, or did you like being the cutoff race, you know, in previous years?
Yeah, that wasn't something that we were wanted to have happen to us. I wonder what the fans think about the fact that, you know, what that says when you got a cutoff race that is one of the best races of the year generally,
right?
And they decide they don't want to be there.
Preach it.
But my daughter tells me it doesn't matter where we are. We're the knockout race, right?
Yeah, no,
that
is very well said. I think we were all very disappointed when they moved that. I thought it was the perfect place for you to be in the schedule during the playoffs. But you're absolutely right that the amount of action and things that can transpire at your racetrack just makes it a total game changer, regardless of where it is on the schedule.
Yeah. And I'm sure in the driver's mind and probably the teams and the owners' minds, they're going, well, if we could just get them out of there. But, you know, and that kind of thinking to me says, well, what if they say, well, we want them out of the chase? Is that next?
Right. Exactly.
You know, so, you know, there are things going on that, again, I'm back to my Bill France note. Just press on. And, you know, I hate to keep saying that because that means every time I say it, we've kind of gotten put on the wrong side of things again.
That is very true. You know, I've always said if you could put lights around that thing, then we could just go to November and be the final race. I'm a big proponent of just making it a crapshoot kind of at the end of the year.
Oh, I love it.
You know, if you want to do that and just put them at Talladega and have that be the final race.
Yeah, that's
– yeah, it's – it, you know, the world is changing and the sport's changed some, but I mean, some of the changes that we're talking about, I'm very, very much in favor of, and some of them I'm not so happy with. And, you know, we're a big company and we got, you know, both sides of the street, you know, are 80 feet apart down there in that building, but sometimes we act like we're on another planet.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this, because I've noticed with what you've got going on down there this year, and you guys always come up with great stuff for pre-race. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I was just going to say, I was just looking at some of our show notes. It's just one thing after another. I guess the fan experience there has to be one of the best in NASCAR.
Yes.
Well, it's probably just from the social nightlife aspect, we've got to be up there towards the top if we're not at the top. And then you throw in all of our campgrounds and all the acreage that we've talked about with y'all before. I mean, we don't have just a little free camping. We've got hundreds of acres of free camping scattered all over the property. And we have a two-day $60 ticket. Now, I want everybody to think about this. If you'll renew that $60 ticket during the renewal period, we'll sell it to you cheaper than that. And when you get in the renewal period, now you've got two things in your pocket. First off, you've got that Sunday ticket, which gets you into the Saturday night concert, which this year is the Charlie Daniels Band on Saturday night. You've also got that Sunday ticket and the renewal time frame, and you get to come in for the Friday night party in the infield, too. So once you buy that two-day package, and you may have to buy your Friday ticket for the ARCA race, but you get to come to the big one on the boulevard and all of the things they've thought up this year. And everybody says, well, tell me about all the things. Well, I kind of look at what they come up with, but I've learned now through time to realize that however they describe it to me, once I get up there and it starts, it's not going to go anything like what they said it was going to be. we immediately lose control of the whole situation, and it doesn't really matter because the fans are having fun and the drivers are having a ball and the onlookers are just having fun. And I know it involves some contestants have to eat 32 ounces of cheese.
I'm trying to figure that out, Grant, because, you know, here in the Chattanooga area, Cleveland area, we all love Mexican restaurants. And from what you've got going on here, stuff the taco relay. All right, then you've got the hat dance with the Mexican hat dance, and then you've got pin the tail and the donkey. I won't tell you what's in parentheses, you know. And then you've got the Gordo eating contest, the Gordo 500. There's a lot of people that are going to have some issues coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with all this cheese.
I mean, you talk about a blockage with 32 ounces of cheese. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, that takes some brave people. We should have got a sponsor, and I won't say what it is.
Oh, man. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what's absolutely fantastic.
But I do want to tell everybody, we got a lot of good tickets left. You know, I don't know anywhere else. We laugh about our camping, but when you can camp for free and you can bring your own food and beverage in every day for free in a soft-sided cooler, no glass, and you get with your Sunday ticket to go see a concert, and if you get on the renewal program, then you get in on the Friday night party. If there's a more economical way to take in three races and two giant parties at another racetrack, I just don't believe anybody can touch it.
And especially in a time now, you know, Grant, where everybody's talking about ticket prices and stuff like that, I think that's the key, is you guys have really done a good job of getting out ahead of that and having, you know, different offerings and stuff like that for cheaper prices. And you're right, you can't go down to a track and get everything that you're able to get there for the kind of price. So kudos to you guys on that.
Free parking right at the track, man. I mean, you can't beat it. I mean, all that's inclusive. So, I mean, not only are you talking about the discounted tickets there, you know, for the $60 for 2 days and all the stuff that goes along with it, but parking's a big deal, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And the camping's a big deal.
We have hundreds and hundreds of acres of free parking, too. So.
And I've walked that, too.
Especially after all that cheese.
I mean, heck, it's 8/10 of a mile from one end of our grandstand down to the far end in turn one.
Wow. Yeah, it is crazy. All right, so tell us, you've got ARCA down there. You also have the Xfinity, and then you've got Monster. So ARCA starts Friday?
Yeah, General Tire 200 is Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, followed by the big one on the Boulevard. The Sparks Energy 300 Xfinity race is on Saturday. That's followed by the CDB band in our infield Saturday night with your Sunday ticket. And, of course, Sunday is the big one, the Geico 500 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And we're ready to go. Right now, I don't put all my marbles in the tank with long-range forecast, but it looks like rain Wednesday and Thursday. Friday turns real nice. Normally around here in the spring, that normally gives you a period of nice weather, you know, and hopefully that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, definitely after this weekend. I don't think you want to have announcement that we're going to make an announcement between 12 and 1, so you want to get it going. Well, Grant, always a pleasure to have you on. Look forward to I may be going down there, so look forward to maybe coming down there and seeing the race or watching it on TV. Whichever one you do, you've got to go down to Talladega and have a good time. And if they want to get tickets, they can go to?
They can go to TalladegaSuperspeedway.com, look at everything we're talking about, read about all the contests and everything else, and then call us at 877-GO-2-DIGA, D-E-G-A, the number 2 on your phone.
Absolutely, and get your stomach ready for cheese, because it'll be a lot of fun. So, well, Grant, thanks for coming on. Have a great day, okay?
You too. Bye bye.
Thanks, Grant.
Hey, listen, that could be an instant racing talk radio classic interview right there.
Exactly.
All about the cheese, baby.
Yeah. Grant Lynch is a lot of fun. So, you know, one of the things that he had mentioned is the fact that it's, you know, you have Dale Earnhardt Jr. coming down, the second most wins, second to his dad. And that is going to be a big, you know, issue for Talladega, because it's a huge draw down there, Jason. Every time you go, you see nothing but junior fans.
Yeah, I mean, all you see is flags down there, 88 flags.
Oh, yeah, that second race down there will be jam-packed full of junior fans. Oh, you can better believe that.
They do a great job down there. You know, the tracks I've been to, they do great jobs at Bristol. They do a great job there. But I'm telling you, Talladega is an experience that you'll never forget. It's great.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back and continue some Dale Earnhardt Jr. retirement talk. We'll do that with the one, the only Alex Hayden with MRN Racing. radio. I know he's got an interesting perspective. We'll talk about that and listen to what he has to say when we come back.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. Great conversation with Grant Lynch from Talladega Super Speedway. And now, you know, we have the one and only, and this is almost could be his welcome music, you know, every time he comes on. But
This man plays more golf than a PGA golfer.
That's what he has. He has steam when he comes out to the golf course and walks through it to this music. So it works out well. But Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. Listen, we just got done talking to Grant Lynch with Talladega Super Speedway, and they're going to have so much cheese down there. I think if you were a salesperson for Talladega, you'd go out and see some X-Lax or something like that and try to sell that as a sponsor. So how's it going, Alex?
Going very well, gang. How's everybody today?
Doing good. I think everybody's trying to recover from the news yesterday, and I know, you know, you've been away from the track a couple of weeks, but you know, a lot leading up to this whole retirement talk, and some of us thought last year might be the time when he was, you know, away from the track, but it comes now. We're all kind of confused on the timing.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody's caught off guard by the announcement. They're all just caught off guard by the timing of it all, because you're right. After all of that Dale Earnhardt Jr. went through last year and the rehab from the concussion and all that he had to go through, it was tough. You know, I don't know how much people know about some of the specifics and some of the things he had to deal with, but it was pretty bad stuff. And for him to be able to fight back and get back in great health that he is now, it's nothing short of remarkable. But so I don't think retiring catches anybody off guard. I think the timing of it all kind of does. And given his comments that he and Mr. Hendrick talked about things back in March, and they made the announcement obviously yesterday, that it was interesting. It was interesting timing, and I think it was more or less an opportunity for the fans to understand, hey, this is it. If you want to see me race in a cup car the rest of this year, now we're letting you know now this is the last year. It's good for the sponsors involved. It's good for Rick Hendrick, because he's going to have to find a replacement driver to take over that 88 car as well.
Well, Alex, that was going to be my question. Who, you know, and we'll talk about what he meant to the sport here in just a second, but who is potentially going to step into that car? Because there's some big shoes to fill. I know we had, you know, Alex Bowman did an outstanding job driving that car last year. Is he going to be in the mix?
Well, I think he's going to be in the mix, but I think there's some pretty big factors. And let's look at it this way. When Earnhardt was out of the car last year, you didn't necessarily need a top driver to fill in, because they just fill in drivers. You just happen to have Jeff Gordon, who just retired, so you had that. You had Alex Bowman, did a great job, no question about it. And Rick Hendrick decided to put him on contract so no other team owner would snatch him up, which leads people to think, well, he's the guy that's the heir apparent. I don't think it's that simple, though, because with all the sponsors that are in place and will be in place, I think it might serve the team better to go get a top-caliber driver. And I don't know if you guys saw Clint Bowyer's tweet immediately yesterday. Clint Bowyer said, Earnhardt's announcement and his retirement. He said, but I didn't think they were going to announce Carl Edwards' return so soon. But that's Clint Bowyer, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what's out there, because if you recall Carl Edwards, when he made his announcement, he didn't say he was retiring. He just said he was stepping away for the year. So who knows? I think the sponsors have a huge say-so in who's going to be their representative. Let alone Rick Hendrick and who's going to be driving that race car. I think it's wide open. I honestly think it's wide open. And once I get to the racetrack in Richmond this weekend and kind of start talking to some of my sources, I'll have a better idea and a better understanding. But to my knowledge right now, it's not a lock for Alex Bowman. This thing is wide open.
Alex, let's talk about expectations. Dale Earnhardt Jr. seems like he's had a lot of expectations his whole career, Part of that being, you know, the son of Dale Earnhardt with seven championships. The other part of that is how popular he was because of it and having to live up to that. Part of me thinks with 26 wins out of 603 starts, I mean, he's got 149 top fives, but to a fan's expectation who wanted him to you know, compete with his father with championships and win a bunch of races, I think they're probably let down a little bit. But Dale Earnhardt Jr., I don't think goes off of the fans' expectations. I think as far as what he expected, he did that. But the other side of the sport is what I want to talk about and how he's really done well and opened up a lot more doors for NASCAR just because of Dale Earnhardt Jr. was in it.
Well, I agree. Dale Earnhardt Jr., once he embraced himself and once he said, I am me, I am not my dad, once he started doing that, he became a completely different person. And I mean, he transcends NASCAR racing. He transcends motorsports. He's a household name. You can go to virtually any residence in America and say the name Dale Earnhardt Jr. They're going to say, yeah, I know who that is. And that's the power that he has behind him. And certainly the more technology's grown along his career and social media's come along, he's embraced Twitter and Instagram. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. shown people who he really is. He's that kind of guy that when you sit down to interview him, he might just say, hey, let's have a beer while we do this. I mean, he's that normal of a guy. He really is. He's very genuine. And I think that transcends professional athletics to the point where everybody can just relate to him. He's just a guy. And I think that's a good thing for everybody.
You know, Alex, just listening to his comments, you know, after races and whatnot this year, he seemed a whole lot more relaxed this year, the whole starting from Daytona on. Do you think he was leaning towards that way back then in Daytona week speed weeks?
I think so. I really do. And based off of his comments yesterday, when he said when he was out of the race car going through all of his rehab, he had time to think about it and find out what was really important to him. So I think he understood in his mind the decision basically was made. I want to come back. I want to fulfill my commitment. His contract's up at the end of this year. Obviously, the sponsorship deal is up at the end of the year. Everything kind of ends at the end of 2017. He wanted to fulfill his commitments to his race team, to Rick Hendrick, to his sponsors, and to the race fans, and mostly to himself. I think he's very true when he said he wanted to do this on his own terms. I totally take him for that, for his word, because how many professional athletes didn't get that opportunity? I mean, you look at his dad. His dad didn't have that opportunity, let alone any other pro athlete who's been injured and had to have their career cut short due to injury. So I think he's extremely sincere, and I think he fought hard to get back to being healthy and to be able to get back behind the wheel of a race car at a top level. I think the pressure's totally off now because of his announcement yesterday. I think the rest of this year, the pressure's completely off because people were kind of, the buzz was out there. Is he going to race again? Is he even going to this year? What's the story? Well, now that he came back and it got back behind the wheel of the car, had a good Daytona 500, hasn't had the best of seasons to this point, but the announcement's out there. Everybody knows. I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. can just go to the track and have fun with his guys and his race team, and this may be exactly what the doctor ordered for them to go out and win some races.
Alex, what you look, how many years, I forgot how many odd years it's been, what does it do to NASCAR without an Earnhardt being in the sport?
Well, you still have Jeffrey, right?
I mean, it's 18 years with Dale Earnhardt Jr. as a Cup driver. I mean, it's going to be huge. He's helped grow this sport by leaps and bounds. You're not going to just replace a superstar overnight. You're just not. He had great comments, and he's exactly right about the future of the sport is very bright because we have the ability now to understand and learn personalities of people via social media so much easier than years gone by. So I think he's spot on. We've got tremendously talented young race car drivers right now, mm-hmm. not only in the Cup Series, but in Xfinity and the Truck Series that are starting to shine. And I think the sport's going to be just fine. But you're not going to replace a caliber driver and a caliber person, and more importantly, the caliber of fan base that followed this guy. You're just not going to replace that overnight. It's going to take some time, no question about it. But overall, in time, things are going to be just fine. The NBA, correct me if I'm wrong, they're still playing NBA games, even though Michael Jordan retired.
They survived.
Not once, but twice. Peyton Manning retired from the NFL. He was all everything, and the NFL's still playing games. I think the biggest comparison is Tiger Woods and what his deal is with golf. Not just because I'm a golfer, but Tiger Woods is a guy that is a household name. You don't have to play golf. You don't have to follow the PGA Tour to know who Tiger Woods is. And with Tiger being off of the tour with now his fourth back surgery, will he ever pick up a golf club and play competitive golf ever again? Nobody actually knows. But the PGA Tour just relied on Tiger Woods to draw that television audience, to draw the attendance at each course. Anytime Tiger said that he was going to play a tournament, ticket sales skyrocketed for that event. That's the same with Dale Earnhardt Jr. And now with Tiger out of the mix, we're having to see other young golfers step up. We see Jordan Spieth, who has become a household name. We see Ricky Fowler, who connects with the young demographic. Dustin Johnson, well, he hits the golf ball from here to Korea. I mean, you've got these young golfers that have stepped up in the absence of their superstar. Well, NASCAR's in the same boat. We're going to have more talented drivers step up in the absence of not just Dale Earnhardt Jr., but Tony Stewart last year and Jeff Gordon 2 years ago.
Just to switch gears just a second, Alex, just to kind of get your thoughts. I guess the demise of the 48 car or the sluggish start that they had, we can totally put that in the rear window. They're going to be just fine, as they've proven over the course of the last couple weeks.
Yeah, they're just awful, and everybody feels bad for them, don't they? it's brutal to go back to back in two completely different types of racetracks. It shows the strength of this race team. It shows how good Jimmy Johnson is, as if we needed another reminder. But they're good, and everybody was questioning after the first 5-6 races of the season, what's wrong with this team? Boy, it's time to break up the band, break up Jimmy and Chad. And you know what? No, not at all. They're good. They're just fine. It just took them a few races to get adjusted to this new low downforce aerodynamic package. They're going to be just fine. Yes, they're a threat to win number 8.
Oh, can you say that again? Because I had a prediction earlier in the show.
Let's
said the 48 was going to go ahead and win 8.
You went out on a limb there. You
yeah.
Know?
I mean, wow.
Set you back in that
gambler,
office, Alex.
Jamie Kyle, the gambler.
Yeah. And if it means anything now that you said that, if it's you against Tiger Woods on the golf course, all my money's on you, Alex Hayden.
At least, well, he's getting much more practice at it right now.
Yeah.
As long as Tiger can't stand upright, I've got a shot. That's my opportunity. No, I think Jimmy Johnson, he to me is your favorite, along with Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano. I think those are the three right now that are the odds on favorite to win the championship. That said, we've got a lot of racing to go and a lot of opportunities to see teams and drivers adjust to this package. We see, take Stewart Haas Racing, for example. Kevin Harvick struggled with this package, and he and Rodney Childers have admitted that they're struggling with this. Kurt Busch, yeah, he won the Daytona 500, but keep in mind, that's the same rule package for the restrictor plate tracks that we've run for a couple of years. Since the Daytona 500, Kurt Busch and Tony Gibson, they've kind of been out to lunch, and admittedly so, they're having a hard time with this package. The one driver out of that four, Danica Patrick on the outside of that looking in, is Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer's lights out right now. I got Clint Bowyer winning Richmond this weekend.
Ooh.
And Clint Bowyer, he's embraced this. He's got new life in his driving career. I think Clint Bowyer is the guy leading the charge right now for Stewart Haas Racing, and he's one of them that has embraced this new package, and good for him for doing so. Now that he's got a good handle on it, Kevin Harvick, Danica Patrick, and Kurt Busch are all kind of leaning on Clint right now to try to get some help to try to figure this thing out.
Now, you know, you picked Clint Bowyer, but the last time he had a pretty good run going at Richmond, he was told to scratch his arm or something like that. So
it's in the past, buddy. Yeah. Let it go.
He's going to have to move through that to get that done. Well, Alex, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on and giving us some perspective. Also, you can listen to Alex Hayden, do his work, do his thing on MRN Radio at 2 o'clock on Sunday. That will be Richmond, and Alex will be on the air on 101.3 The Buzz. So, Alex, as always, great job. Hit them straight today, because I'm sure you'll go out tonight. There's still daylight. And
No golf today, believe it or not.
It's disappointing.
Baseball team, they had Education Day at the Durham Athletic Park. So we had a 10:30 a.m. first pitch here in Durham. So been a baseball game all day long, and now I'm just kind of hanging out. I got to do the yard work at some point, so that's probably what's going to happen.
That is awesome. Well, Alex, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it, and we'll look forward to hearing you on Sunday.
Thanks so much, as always, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
That's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. Always glad to have him on. Always gives interesting perspective. And if you want to hear him on the race day, it's always an interesting listen because he's always on point. So very good there. Yeah. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll do Monster Energy Series points.
We got a lot to do in a very short amount of time.
Our power rankings and pick to win. We'll do all that and more when we come back.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio 101.3 The Buzz. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day.
What a day.
What a day. You don't even want to recap. It's been such a day
because
we don't have a lot of time. So,
no recapping today.
All right. So,
listen to the show on the website here in a little bit.
And
also
Twitter.
On Twitter, and Racing Facebook. Talk Radio.
We could do it all. All right. Let's shift gears really quick. We need to go to the Monster Energy Series point standings. That's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. You know, when you look for a realtor, one of the big things when you buy a house is one of your biggest purchases. You want to make sure that somebody you have helping you is somebody you can trust and will do a good job for you. Stephanie Painter, I've seen her in action, does a great job and will take care of you in one of your biggest purchases. Or if you just want to sell the house, she can do that too. Call her at 650-9429 or 473-9545. Scott, take it away.
Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the Food City 500 this weekend. Kyle Larson retains his lead. He has a 27-point lead over Chase Elliott. Martin Truex Jr. is third. Joey Logano fourth. Brad Keselowski fifth. Jimmy
Johnson.
Seven-time Johnson. All the way up to sixth place now. Jamie McMurray seventh. Clint Bowyer. Good run by Clint. Up to eighth. Kevin Harvick is ninth. And in 10th place is the number 21 car, the Ryan Blaney. Man, I can't wait to see him down in Talladega in a few weeks.
Should be
and
very.
That is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standing.
It'll definitely be interesting. Those are brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Crylike. Make sure you call her. If you're selling your house or you want to buy one, if your wife's telling you we need to get rid of this place and find another one, she's the person to call. Stephanie Painter, Crylike Realtor, 650-9429 or 473-9545. All right, let's move quickly into
no banter on the point on the power rankings and the winners this week.
Well, I think I've done enough to deserve no banter for my power rankings. So I'll go with the 42 of Kyle Larson, number one. Number two, yes, he's moved up to number two. The 48 of Jimmy, eight times soon to be Johnson, and then Brad Keselowski, number three. Kyle Busch, even though I think he hit the wall about six times.
Yeah, hit the wall hard.
Still going to have him number four, and then Chase Elliott number five.
I'm going with Kyle Larson number one, number two Brad Keselowski, number three Chase Elliott, number four Martin Truex Jr., and 48 of Jimmy Johnson fifth in my power rankings.
Well, we're all in agreement. Kyle Larson sits at the top. I got Keselowski second, Martin Truex Jr. Third. Jimmy Johnson up into my power rankings this week, up to fourth, and rounding out the top five is Chase Elliott.
You know, a lot of times when you're a good leader, people will follow. Thanks, Scott.
No,
So I'm going with the picks this week. I'm going with Mr. Brad Keselowski to take it at Richmond. Jason Hildebrand.
I'm going with Denny Hamlin to win at Richmond.
Oh, a little hometown cooking there, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to take Rowdy. I know that we have
new caramel M&Ms. Now,
yeah, so I'm going to take Rowdy this week. At some point, a Toyota other than Truex is going to win a race. It might as well be right.
That, I think this is the only track that Hamlin might be able to win at this year, unless it's Talladega.
That is true. What do you think, maybe just real quick, biggest story besides Dale Earnhardt Jr. still being a big story coming out of Richmond?
I don't think there is another story.
Joe Gibbs
gets his first win, maybe.
Yeah. That's
maybe.
Weird. That's weird to say. So Joe Gibbs gets his first win 9 races into the season. So, all right, it's been a great show. Thanks to our guest Alex Hayden and Grant Lynch from Talladega Super Speedway. Make sure you tune in next week as we'll break down Richmond, and we'll talk to you then. This is Racing Talk Radio, 101.3 The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie, Kyle, and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.